Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Joseph Lobbock. He's with Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Wadsworth, my favorite parish. Welcome, Father.
Thanks, Tim. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you again. It's hard to believe it's Friday already, but we've been going through the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, talking about what we believe as Catholics. And today we're in Chapter 3 talking about how man responds to God. And question 20 asks, how can we respond to God when he speaks to us?
Well, our response to God really is faith. Faith is a response to God, to believe in him. And that has varying levels and depths, but the basic response to God and his revelation and his making himself known is faith. That's how we respond to God. That's our response.
So the next question naturally is then, Father, what is faith?
What is faith? Well, faith is a lot of things, but I think we have to remember, first of all, that faith is a complete and utter gift from God. It's a gift from God. Now, again, people think, you know, it's a gift and I didn't get it, okay? But God does not withhold faith from anybody. Faith is a gift in the sense that there's nothing you can do to earn it, to buy it, or anything else. Like it comes from God. But it is, again, our response. And so we can believe whatever we want. You know, it always mystified me, you know, you go through the checkout line at the grocery store and you see those tabloids and how many people believe whatever it is that's printed. Okay, it's in print, then it's true.
Abduction from aliens from another world.
Yeah, right. All that stuff. So, you know, Elvis Presley's still alive and all this stuff. And people believe it, you know, because we can basically believe anything we want to believe. So we can do the same thing with God. If we want to believe in God, we can believe in him as deeply and as profoundly as we want to. We want it all to make perfect sense, and that's where a lot of people get messed up and they get off track.
But I know I have a son who doesn't believe in God. And I've prayed for him. I mean, one of the things, obviously, the first and foremost thing we can do for anybody is pray for him. And I've often wondered, what can I say as his father to help him to believe? So I tell him how much I love him. And I says, Vince, do you realize how much your mom and dad love you? He goes, yeah. He says, and I love you guys a lot. I says, well, take our love for you and multiply it times 1,000. I says, just pick a number. But God loves you so much more than I am able to love you, because God is perfect and your dad's not perfect. And I don't love you with a perfect love, but God loves you with a perfect love, so much so that he created you. You're a gift to us from God. And that's the way I look at it. I have three beautiful children, one beautiful God's grandson. Those are gifts from God. And so if you can, you know, I try to get my son to look at, you know, my wife and I as gifts to him from God. So again, God loved you so much, he created you. And then he just didn't leave it at that. He sent his only son so that we have the opportunity to go to heaven and be together forever worshiping and praising God. So, I mean, that was my best shot that I came up with.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. That's
for my
good
son.
Way to say it.
Because he knows the love that he has for us.
Right.
And he knows our love for him. So again, I'm trying to make that real as far as God's love of him. And once he realizes that God loves him, now he can have faith. Now he can have that belief in God, because now it makes sense to him, creation, himself, our family, the love that we have for each other.
Right. Another thing we have to remember is faith is, as the Catechism teaches us, is absolutely necessary for salvation. Now, again, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't say how much faith. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this tree, be uprooted and transplanted into the sea, and it will obey you. So it doesn't take a lot of faith, as Jesus teaches us. But faith, some form of faith, some level of faith is absolutely necessary for salvation. And it has to be, whatever amount of faith we have, has to be clear in our minds and certain. And it is, and that's not beyond our reach. That's not way out there. That's not too much to ask. We want to be certain of so many things, and we think we are. Sometimes we have a friend, even a spouse. We can be so certain that they love us, and then, you know, 6 years down the line, somebody's unfaithful to somebody, and where did it all go? God won't do that to us. God will never do that to us.
God won't dump us.
No, he won't be unfaithful. He is always faithful because he cannot deny himself. That's it. That is who he is. And so faith is, again, as I said, is our response. And we can have as much faith as we want.
And if we don't have as much faith as we want, we can pray,
yeah,
for the gift. Lord, help my lack of faith. Yeah. Lord, help my lack of love.
Right.
Help me to have faith, more faith, and help me to love more and better.
Right. People just say, well, I don't have faith, or it doesn't make sense to me. I don't have it. So they just move on and live their life the way they want. But if you, how often I would ask those people, how often have you knelt down and asked God for faith? Ask him for the gift of faith. That's where it comes from. Ask him to show himself to you. He will, if you ask him. And not just once, you know, it's got to be something that you're really looking for and searching for.
And by asking, we're humbling ourselves and making room in our souls for that faith by right, humbling ourselves and showing God that we really mean it. We really right, want we to really have faith in you, Lord. Faith. We really want to believe in you. Help me. Help me in my unbelief. So question 22 of the UCAT asks, Father, how does one go about believing?
I don't suppose there's any secret formulas or anything like that. It's a matter of you go about believing because you look around and you listen, you look, and you think about it, you know, and ask. Again, it still comes down to asking God to direct your mind and your heart, asking the Holy Spirit to guide you. He will. And again, just like you said, just the whole process of asking. You're praying to God. You're saying, God, you are the Almighty. You are the one who loves me, and I'm asking you to help me. We wouldn't pray, we wouldn't ask God if somewhere in our hearts we say we love him and we want to know him better. We want to be closer to him. So if you want something, you ask for it. And that's very simply put in regards to our faith.
Okay. So question 23 of the UCAT asks, is there a contradiction between faith and science?
Well, this is something that Blessed John Paul II, often he wrote a whole, I think, encyclical about faith and reason. And, you know, all that reason being part of science, of course. But there isn't any. It goes hand in hand. God made all this, all these things. God created science. What is science? What does the word mean? Science comes from the word, the Latin word for knowledge, to know. Science, we study things. We look at them. We try to explain how they came about, where they came from, what they do. But ultimately, it all goes back to God. He is the creator of everything. God created it all. So just science and studying science and reasoning to it should hopefully lead us to the knowledge of God, because that's where all this came from in the first place. So there's nothing opposed there at all.
And it's also points to the church's idea of the inclusiveness of both and as opposed to either or. So it's not faith or reason, it's faith and reason. It's not right, the Bible or the church, it's the Bible and the church.
Right.
And again, it's not
reason.
loving Jesus or Mary. We love them both.
Yeah.
But we worship only God.
Yeah. Because science seeks the same thing as seeks truth. There can't be two truths. There's only one truth. And it all goes hand in hand. It all came from God. So as a scientist seeks to know the truth about the universe, about the human body, about nature, whatever it is. They're seeking the truth, and that is God. He is the truth.
He's somebody, Jesus. Jesus is the truth.
Right.
So what does faith have to do with church, and why do I need the church if I have faith?
Well, we can't just kind of be on our own. God never made us to be isolated. He meant for us to be in a community. God, you know, created Adam and Eve, and they had children, and God told them, be fruitful and multiply. God didn't call, you know, he started with individuals, but he meant for a whole race of people, like the nation of Israel. Those were his chosen people. That's what he started with. So he calls us together. Jesus didn't say, go out and teach each individual. He said, go out to all the world. Tell the nations. Reveal to the nations the love and the saving power of God. So it's about always reaching out, in the church itself was started as a community with people that needed each other, that helped each other. And again, that's what attracts people, did and still does, to the church, is the community, is the people coming together. So you don't have everybody, you know, believing the same, believing in union with each other, only strengthens our faith. Because it's like anything we do. If everybody was doing it, it would be so easy. If everybody was doing the right thing, it would be easy. But we go off in different directions, and so that's not what God really wanted.
Okay. So why does faith require definitions and formulas?
Well, it just helps us to understand it better. It helps us to put it into words that we can repeat, that we can profess. And this is how it sticks with us. You know, we say the creed every Sunday, make a profession of faith. The church gives us the option today of saying that, of praying the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed, but they all are basically the same thing. But it gives us the words that we need to say and to teach and live out those words. But if we don't say it, then it doesn't mean anything. I tell the kids all the time, you know, Jesus taught us one very basic thing. Treat people the way you want to be treated. It's a golden rule. But if you don't think about those words every day, then you're probably not going to be doing it. So I encourage them, pray and ask God, Jesus, help me to treat everyone the way I want to be treated. If you say that every day, then those words make a difference. That's why we need to have creeds and professions of faith. We have to have words. We're human beings.
Well said, Father. You've been listening to Father Joe Lobbock from Sacred Heart of Jesus Catholic Church in Wadsworth. And this has been Tim Perry for Faith with Father at Living Bread Radio, reminding you that you're only one good confession away from receiving Jesus in the Eucharist. If you haven't been to confession or haven't been to church for a while, now would be a great time. Until next time, may God bless you. Bye for now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.